And because of that, his love for us allows us to say, wait a minute, there'll be an amen to this one day. There's going to be an amen to this. For those who die outside of Christ, there is everlasting. For those who die in Christ, there is eternity. Have you ever noticed those two words? One has a concept of time, everlasting. The other has a concept of no time, eternal. To those who die outside of Christ, there is hell. For those who die inside of Christ and accept what Jesus Christ has done, there is heaven. Because of that, we look unto Jesus. He's the ultimate model. Now, the faith factor. Jesus is not just the archaeos, he's also the tetelestai. You remember when the cross experience came to an end and he picked his lungs up one more time between those deep breaths by which he was hanging? And he says, it is finished. Was he talking about his physical life? Yes. Was he talking about redemption being complete? Yes. Was he talking about us having to do nothing else on our own because of what he had done? Yes, all of the above. He is the tetelestai, meaning the completer of all that is necessary. The completer of all that be necessary. That's the faith factor. If you're going to find joy in all of your life, you're going to have to live out the faith factor of who Jesus is and what he's already done. If you're here this morning and you're attempting to find some kind of way to really do good works, that's all well and good. I like to do good works, but I do good works not because I need them to enter into a heaven or to guarantee me a spot. I do it because of the joy in my heart that says, this is what we're called to do because of what Jesus has already done. Boy, when I hear believers complain and whine, I can imagine what the Holy Spirit is like, can't you? Grieving. In fact, he says this in Ephesians 5, don't grieve the Spirit with this attitude. This woe is me and poor is me and everybody else has it better. And why do I have to do this? Why can't I win the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes? Can you imagine $5,000 a week for the rest of your life? That's when we start praying, Lord, let me live forever. $5,000 a week. Brother Benny, how much that be a year? $5,000 a week? $260,000 a year. I could get by on that. Why can't I win it? Why can't I do it? How do they? Finding joy in your troubles first is find the faith factor in who Christ is and what he's done. Verses 5 through 10 is the father effect. Now, we've already introduced that with the boys and girls. There must be a father in every relationship. We are growing out. We have neutered the American father, made him irrelevant because of a deeper cause and a deeper problem. That's a different sermon for a different time. Maybe even a man's sermon and a woman's sermon separated because of how deep in desperation and sin we have dug this hole so that boys no longer find it necessary to be identified physically as a boy or a girl as a girl. And folks, this conflict will come to Heber Springs, trust me. It's going to come to every little community in Arkansas. No, we're country. It's already here. I've had students question me and stop me, even this past year, and say, why are you so hung up on that we have to be called boys and they girls? Why can't we be what we want to be? And see, that is the lie of Satan that is permeating this place. And if you can be who you want to be, you can be anybody you want to be, then what do you need a father for? Why do you need a father? See, so the father effect, let's look at it very quickly. When we are discipled, we are also disciplined. In our prayer time, our men talked about this morning, we need to do more, we need to train more. Those are words we need to hear in the church with young believers. You come to Christ, you get baptized right here, and God bless you, I hope this all works out, here's your Bible. We have to train more, but in order to train more, we have to disciple more. But listen to me, in order to disciple more, they must be disciplined more. See, there's the same root word, disciple and discipline. One is voluntary, the other ain't. You'll either be humble or you will be humiliated. Same root word. one or the other. One's voluntary, one's not. And so let's look at the three things that happen. Verse 5 through 10, when we are disciplined, he says to us in verse 6, don't despise the process. Now, I did not have a father growing up. You've heard that story. But age 5, they took me to my grandfather's farm. We knocked on his door. I said, sir, are you my grandfather? He said, yes, I am. He was a big, imposing man. And he reached down. I had never seen my grandfather in my life, didn't know who he was. For the next 6 years of my life, he became my father, not just a grandfather. For I lived with him. Everything he did, I did. Everything he worked at, I worked at. If he was hoeing corn, I'm hoeing corn. If we're raking hay with a team of mules, I'm raking hay with a team of mules. For the next 6 years, I understood that effect, that the father effect. And when I would do something wrong, we would go out and he had these old lawn chairs. You remember them, they were metal, but they would kind of rock back and forth on the, and they just kind of do that, and he'd sit there, and we'd go for like 43 hours and not say a word. Actually, it's like 4 minutes. He said, Bobby, you know what you did? Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm already broken. Yes, sir. You know what we got to do, right? Yes, sir. He said, you want to cut it or you want me to? I'll do it. And there we go. I hated that process. I didn't hate it. I was just like all these other boys. I was pretty tough. You could whip me if you wanted to. It broke my heart that it broke his heart. 6 years after that, he went off to the hayfield one morning. He's 86 years old, and he doesn't come home. Now I'm 11 years old without the father effect again. They said to my single-parent mama, you can't raise all these kids yourself, so my cousins took me to California, Bakersfield, California. You can live with us. Now I don't have the father. Now I don't have the mother. I hated it. I hated every part of it. I tried to find every way in the world to get back home to Arkansas. Finally, after months, I persuaded them, and they put me on a bus and made the Route 66 on a bus tour. Not one I would recommend. It took like 14 days to get there, it seems like. But I got home. The father effect is with us forever. There are men in this room, I know male 79 because preacher said he was, who still think about their daddy and who still respect the fact that I had a father. Well, the father effect, don't despise the process. Number two, don't be discouraged with the circumstances like they are. Don't be discouraged. It's not like it is to you parents. Hold on. Hold the line. I know you want to be a buddy to your kids. We've entered into a parent negotiation process today where we negotiate truth, where we negotiate, would you want to do this? I saw a little fellow, we were at McDonald's, and by the way, we have lived here now 48 hours. We have been to Walmart 5 times. By the time we get back to the place, we forgot to get the screw and the nut and the bolt in it. We've enjoyed Sonic and McDonald's and Casey's Pizza and the Ace Hardware store. We have spread our money around in 48 hours. But I'm home. All right. Somewhere. Who laid these streets out in this town anyway? I need to talk to this. Don't despise the process and don't get discouraged in these circumstances. Hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. I'm telling you, if you don't, we will have a greater undisciplined generation that's coming, if that's even possible. Never doubt His love for you. Never doubt it. Never doubt His love for you. There's a fragile part of life. We're not going to get to it. Let's just stop right there. There's a fragile part of life. Let's go back to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The other day, Miss Jan and I were driving back home from Heber Springs, and a trucker was sleepy. I mean, it got really bad. I thought the other truckers, you know how they work, I thought they'd get on CB or whatever they do now and try to get him awake. He was all over the place. And the only time he would come to a correction is when he'd look over in the rear view and get straightened up. Let me give you a verse 2. To me, this is exactly what it is. We sit down in our cars, and we're looking forward. This is the direction He's called us to go. Look at verse 2. This is the direction He's called us to go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down. Which way is He going? He's going forward. What's his next row? Sit down on the right hand of the Father. When's that going to change? When the trumpet blows, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with him forevermore in the air. That's the rapture of the church. He's sitting down. He is not looking at the past. He's not looking at the cross. He's not looking at what tragedies happened. He is not looking at the bad day that he had. He's looking forward. Every day we have to keep moving forward. This is the windshield. This is the rear view. Have you ever noticed the difference of the view section? You notice outside your little mirror, this is all they give you. But up front, whoa, I see all of you. This is the vision. Some of you are stuck in 1974. It was a bad year. Oh, my soul. Don't look inside of these too long. It gives you complex. You're stuck. You're looking in the rear view. You're driving like the truck driver last Sunday. He's all over the place. And the only time he woke up was when he looked at where he'd already been. And he knew he was going crooked. I am saying to you this morning, if you're stuck on what happened to you yesterday, or night before last, or 6 months ago, or the tragedy of your family, or the failure that you have gone through, you are looking in the rearview mirror and failing to see that God forgave you of that. Has there been confession of that? Yes. But you see, here's the deal. I know I've confessed my sins, but I'm just worried that they're going to catch up to me. I'm worried that they're getting faster. Who cares? Who cares? If Satan is accuser of the brethren, and that's what the Bible says he is, quit looking in the rear view. Start looking in the big visual of what he has for you today, of where we're going today, of what we're going to do today, and how we can do it by faith. So we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him kept the visual. He kept moving in the right direction. He is our ultimate model. The rear view is back there only to keep alignment. That's all it's there for. You don't need to worry about the rear view. I love what Paul told Timothy. Listen, Timothy, folks are after you. Yeah, I know. You're a young preacher. I know. But remember this. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You can't do that by looking at this little thing. You have to have the visual of moving forward. Where's your family going? How are we going to get there? Why are we doing what we're doing? Well, in order to see that, we've got to have the big visual and quit looking at what happened yesterday. Athletics are always a contest of success or failure. It's one or the other. And when we fail, coaches holler and scream and kick, throw towels, and sometimes use adjectives that should not be allowed because of our failure. But when we do good, they stand on the sidelines or on the court and they praise. And it's the same for the crowd. It's the same for the crowd. I have a grandson who plays college football. Offensive lineman. He doesn't have to think much, and that's good. All he has to do is plug up a great big old hole. So when it's good and he doesn't let those defensive guys get through, the crowd roar. But when they get through, it's, did you see 72? What's he doing? Taking a nap? And everybody's mad. Many of you are living your life just like that. If everybody's mad at you, if you're not winning approval, if everybody's not happy with you, you're like this. You've got to keep moving forward, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark. You say, Brother Bob, you'll be very, very successful here if you will just work at pleasing every one of us. Let me help you out with that right now. That wasn't even my aim. Wasn't even my goal. Never entered my thoughts. I want you to please the Father. I'll please the Father. We'll all get along. I'll give you respect. You give me respect. I'll be whatever it needs to be to make things happen, to make things work. Whatever we got to do, I'm willing to do right beside you. But I am telling you this. We have to look unto Jesus, the ultimate model. That's the faith factor. The father factor is we're to respect this difficult time sometimes we get into. When I see a mad mama in the store and she grabs up a little toddler and she, I told you, no one wins. The culture thinks it's abuse. And she'll get called in and everybody in the world's got a cell phone it's already been taken a picture of. That's not correction. That's not what the Father does to us. And so when you look at your life right now, are you looking out the big one or are you looking out the back one? I want you to stand together with me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want you to just keep one visual in your life. Is your spiritual walk behind the big windshield or are you just looking backwards? History only has value to us as we attempt to correct ourselves. That's a rearview mirror. It will not help us get to where we need to be, folks. It will not help us go in the direction the Father would have us go. So I just want you to have one visual in your mind right now, this great big windshield where there's perspective, big perspective, a 180 view of what's in front. And a very small view of what we've came from behind. And to every believer in this room, I ask you this question. Which way are you looking? Looking unto Jesus. Where is He? He's forward. He's not in our past. He is in our future. He saved us from our past. He has saved us from the penalty of our past. But He is in the forward. Do you see which way you are? Are you spending all your time looking back at the failure? At the heartache, at the mistrust, at the betrayal. For if so, you can't look forward. You can't look unto Jesus who authored and pioneered your faith. Just an honest point this morning that we all come to when we ask, Lord, am I looking in the rearview mirror way too much? When I should be looking unto You that's in front. Say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. This is a moment of decision for me. I mean, this is a defining moment here because I'm stuck in the past. People have hurt me. People have wounded me. People have abused me. I sat at an altar one day or down on my knees in an altar one day. Beautiful young lady comes down. She's praying. Can I pray with you? She had been abused physically by family over and over and over again. And all she could see is a little rearview mirror of what had happened. That no husband would ever want her. That she was devalued to a point that she was useless. That's the first time it became so real to me that people are so wounded and abused that they feel valueless, of no worth. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you have great worth because of the work of Jesus Christ in you. It's a defining moment. Say, preacher, pray for me. I've been looking in the past way too much from the hurt, the harm, the betrayal, the bitterness. And I've not been looking through the windshield of faith at the model of Jesus. Please pray for me. Please don't lift your hand. Please don't lift your hand unless this is that defining moment that you say, yes, please pray for me. I got to quit looking in this rearview mirror. This is a defining moment. If that is you, would you please just indicate it by saying, preacher, that's me. Your hands are lifted. Is this you? Is this you? Thank you and thank you. Is this you? Way in the back, is this you? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Way too much. One other visual. One other visual. Who will this church be to the next generation? And how will we model this Jesus by this faith factor? And will we become fathers that will hold the line? Grandfathers and great-grandfathers who will hold the line spiritually, mentally, physically, for what is right and what is holy and what is godly. You say, pray for me, preacher. I want to be one of those men, the father effect. On this generation, I want to be one of those men. Pray for me.
pray for me. You lift your hands as well. I want to be part of that Father effect. God bless you, men. I call upon every man in this room who needs to feel as though that he's looking through the windshield of faith and not the rear view of past, to maybe come to this altar this morning and renew your heart, renew that decision to be a man. I'm telling you, we're facing a culture that has stripped manhood completely away and fatherhood. How we desperately need it. We need mamas who are willing to come to altars and pray over children or grandchildren, not even their own, that they may see the path, the future, and what Jesus has done. And many of you have already lifted your hand. That's for me. I've got to quit remembering those things. So right now, we open this altar to you. There are so many people who are so desperate to try anything in the world. Are we ready as a church to make sure that they try Jesus Christ and His love and His forgiveness and the acceptance that He has for every one of us when we come to the cross? Are we ready for that? Then we open this time for you. Many of you said a moment ago, pray for me. The past is still hooked on to the present. Right now at this moment, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. I'm going to ask that you come down and pray with me. If you're a dad in this room who needs spiritual strength to sit with your family and pray and to open the Bible, to call them, to use the word, then I'm going to ask you, make that commitment in your heart today. Make that commitment in your heart today. For the windshield of faith is forward. The rear view is behind us. Just slip out from where you were, men. You need to come and pray. Then you come. Many of you lifted your hands and said, I'm stuck. I'm stuck on yesterday's heartache, yesterday's pain. I can't do that any longer. I'm stuck. How we need godly parents, godly grandparents, and godly churches. How we need a spirit of forgiveness for one another, a spirit of hope that says, I can forgive you for what you've done. I can forgive you for what you're doing. I counseled a young man recently who said his father wouldn't talk to him because of what he'd done. He said his father disowned him. How can a daddy do that when the Heavenly Father has forgiven us of the most vile sins we could ever have? How can we do it? How can we disown them? Well, we've created a generation of boys and girls that knows not the Lord. Will they see Jesus in the front or the rear view? You're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, right where you stand, you can call on Him. You can ask Him, Father, forgive me of my sins. I confess You right now as my Savior and as my Lord. I confess You as my Savior. And my Lord. What is that? It's called salvation. It's called salvation. Everything else is done. He is the ultimate model. You can call upon Him and He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. I want this church, every time we come to the door, to have an anticipation that the Holy Spirit is going to do His work in our lives today. And I will not be in the way of it. And I will not be a griever of it. And His work in our life can be accomplished. He'll save you. He can save you. There's no other name. Oh, it's a beautiful truth. There's no other name. I will follow You. I will follow You. So, Father, we stand before You. We have nothing in our hands. We own nothing of our own righteousness. I pray that we can leave this place with the visual That forward means the big view. Forward means you are our model. May we look no longer to the past of our failure. May we look no longer to the past of who failed us. May we be able to forgive those who have harmed us or wounded us or abused us. May we walk in that forgiveness with one another. With that, how we thank you and love you. And we thank you for this beautiful moment that we can all confess you as our Lord and as our Savior. May our men rise up and be strong men. May our women rise up and be strong women who will love you boldly, who will follow you obediently. We ask it and we pray it in Jesus' heavenly name. Amen and amen.
On Saturday morning, we're having a men and boys prayer breakfast. Brother Bob will be there with us to share. It's at 7 o'clock. We have our cooks will be there at 6. Bring a boy. Bring a man. Come meet with us as we pray, as we lead what this church wants us to do following Jesus. Father, thank you today for decisions that are made with you. Father, not for each other, but following our finisher in Jesus Christ. Help Mountaintop Cowboy Church look to the vision that you have for us to reach men and women and boys and girls for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.